We have been blessed by the music this morning, as we always are, and thank you so much, choir and congregation. Thank you for blessing us this morning with your music, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful time. Look with me in God's wonderful word this morning, shall you? Shall we? Put together Romans chapter 12, one of my favorite passages in all the New Testament. It has meant so much to me through the years, continues to be so, and Romans chapter 12 is a turning point in the book of Romans. There probably is no other biblical book that's any more wonderfully revealing of God's plan of salvation than the book of Romans. And we're going to talk about what it means to obey the gospel and be saved, but even more than that, we're going to talk about the what now. What does the Lord want for us now? What does the Lord expect of us now? What does the Lord want us to do? What does he want us to be? Title is The Surrendered Life. And really, this is a story, this is a passage that talks about what it means to sell out your whole life to the Lord Jesus. I was talking to our son Jamie. I'm going to pray for Jamie. He's preaching this morning at his church in Weatherford, Texas. He's preaching there this morning. And we were talking about, I said, son, what are you preaching on? He told me I'm preaching on a come to Jesus, or a come to Jesus moment. And talking about all those times that we found ourselves confronted with the claims of Christ, and there are pivotal times in our lives, and the Lord speaks us to us through a testimony, a circumstance, a sermon, or something in life, a turning point for us. And so the Romans chapter 12 is one of those passages for me. I'd been saved as a young boy for several years, and one Sunday our pastor preached on the Lordship of Christ. And it dawned on me, it's not that I'd heard it for the first time, but the truth of it broke through for the first time. And I realized that I needed to, there's more than just being saved, more than having your name written in the book of life in heaven. It's a matter of living for Jesus and letting Jesus live through me during the days that I'm here on this old earth. So we're going to talk about that this morning, but let's look first of all in chapter 12, turning point in the 16 chapters of the book of Romans. The book of Romans begins with a glorious address of what it means to be saved, the doctrine of salvation. And for the first 11 chapters, that's the theme of the book of Romans. Now in chapter 12, verse 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul deals with, what do we do now? What do we do now? What does this mean for me now in here in my relationship with the Lord? So listen carefully, beginning in verse 1 of Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or experience firsthand what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In your study guide that I've given you this morning, we've provided for you, I want you to understand this passage talks about surrender, talks about sacrifice, talks about God's will for our lives, and begins with an appeal for a surrendered life. And Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, in the English, in the King James, it doesn't render the full impact of that passage. I beseech you. The word beseech is an interesting word. It's the word parakaleo, made up of two words, para, which means to come alongside, and kaleo, which means to call. What Paul is saying is, I want to call you, church at Rome. I want to call you alongside of me to make Jesus Christ, who is your Savior, to be your continuing Lord and Master in your life, and allow him to transform you more and more each day into the image of God in Christ. You've heard me reference this little children's song all the time, but it's true. It contains a lot of truth. He's still working on me, the children used to sing. And the truth is, just sanctification is God's still working on you. He's still trying to make us more into the image of God in Christ. So the petition, the call for a surrendered life begins with an admonition. I beseech you. It's a heartfelt admonition. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of Calvary, because of the cross, because of the price Jesus paid for our sins on Calvary, he has a right to expect to be Lord of our lives. We're not our own. We belong to Him. The day we gave our hearts and lives to Jesus, we sold out to the Lordship of Christ. And the journey gets better. I love the choir singing. And the journey gets sweeter every day as we go. This is a burden on Paul's heart. When he said, I beseech you, listen, I know that you love Jesus, but it's not enough just to love Him. We ought to be more like Him every single day. And more of the Holy Spirit, ought to have more of our lives to control. And as He fills us and breathes new life into us, the Holy Spirit shapes us into the image of God in Christ. The petition is the call for a surrendered life. I beseech you, therefore. You can't go to the cross and feel neutral. Go to the cross, you move. You've got to simply say, Lord, what is it you'd have me to do? What is it you'd have me to be? What is it you'd do in my life? By the mercies of God, we ought not ever move away far from the cross. In the cross, as we talked about last Sunday, be my glory ever. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. So Paul begins talking about this surrendered life. And this is so important because at the end of this passage, in verse 2, he says, this is the will of God concerning you. This is how you get to know God's will for your life. Surrender your life to the Lordship of Christ. You'll discover more and more what He wants you to do and what He wants you to be. You'll discover how you can become more than man, more than woman, more than the boy, the more the girl God wants you to be. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you, and the second principle is, not only the petition for a surrendered life, but the presentation of a surrendered life. It's a picture of worship. You know, one of the things that happens when we worship is we present ourselves to the Lord. Simply, let the Lord speak to me. Here I am. I'm a blank slate. Write on my heart every word that you want me to hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. The presentation of a surrendered life, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's a beautiful imagery here of the ancient priest in the Old Testament who'd come into the Holy of Holies and offer up sacrifices for the sins of the people of Israel. That word present means to lay on the altar. It's a picture of laying on the altar. A sacrifice. So a lamb or a ram or a goat would be laid upon the altar. It was a presentation of a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's not enough to know that you're on the way to heaven. Thank God that we know. But it's enough. It's more important. It's extremely important that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That word reasonable is an interesting word. It's the word logike, which we get our word logical. The most reasonable thing you'll ever do is surrender your life to the Lordship of Christ. And so no matter how old you get, I've been so blessed this week, and I want to say thank you. Thank you for the phone calls I got this up. I didn't know some of you could sing. I found out some of you can't sing. but you did a good job anyway. And I don't know why I've had more people call me and wish me happy birthday. And I'm one day older, and Johnny Cash says, deeper in debt. But the Lord's been in debt. And I know I'm going to get in trouble because you don't ever want to leave anybody out. But today is my wife's sweet birthday. And Gail's birthday. Y'all were born on the same day, and happy birthday. Anybody else got a birthday today? All right. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. There needs to be a time where I can just come back to the altar and simply say, Lord, if there's anything in my life you need to address, you need to speak to, you need to change, you need to minister to, would you please make my heart an open book that I might hear what you want me to hear, see what you want me to see. The petition to call for a surrendered life, I beseech you therefore, because of the cross, the presentation of a surrendered life, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy. Holiness is not a denomination, it's a stature of life. It's a measure of life. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's talking about doing this He said, it's like a sacrifice. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Lord, my life is not all that. I don't have the right to make my own choices apart from the will of God. God called me to, and so I need to be sure that I seem to do my best to try to understand what the will of God is. And in this passage, Paul's talking in the book of Romans about that you might know the will of God. The will of God, not just the will of God as we understand that on the surface, but every aspect of what it means to know the will of God. I would have missed some wonderful blessings had I not yielded to the will of God many years ago when God called me to preach. And a young 19-year-old boy, God called me to preach. And I couldn't believe God was calling me to preach. I couldn't lead in silent prayer. I was nervous and shy and get in front of a crowd. I had a class in high school, my senior year at Huntsville High School. I had a class, and the class was in a speech class, and I had to give a speech my high school year. I dropped the course the speech is due. The day the speech is due. And Paul said, whatever the Lord wants to do in your life, it's an ongoing discovery, and present your body as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And it's an act of surrender. It's an act of authority. It's an act of ownership. We're not our own. We belong to Him. And He's got a purpose and a plan for us. And by the way, that purpose is good, it's perfect, and it's blessed. You don't have to be afraid of the will of God for your life, because God's going to bring to bear His best in your life. The logical service is declared, which is your reasonable service. Who could deny the claim of our Lord upon our lives? And you go to the cross and see the sacrifice Jesus made for our sins. The petition for a surrendered life, I beseech you therefore, brethren, the presentation of a surrendered life, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. It just makes good sense. The best life you'll ever live is a life lived for Jesus. The longer I serve, the sweeter it grows. Thank you, choir, for singing that this morning. And then there's the procedure for a surrendered life, and I like this. And be not conformed to this world. Paul understood he was writing to a people who were living in a cultural conclave of all kind of sin and ungodliness. And God puts us in the middle of a world that doesn't know Christ. And this so that we not, as we let our light so shine before men. He says, and be not conformed. And very literally that says, and stop letting this world conform you. This world doesn't have the last word what the Bible says about sin. This world doesn't have the last word. This world doesn't have the last word what the Bible says, what it says about the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw an interesting article. I didn't read the article. I just saw where it was a headline. And it caught my attention. Got a school system somewhere was criticizing the coaches of the football team for praying with their players. And I thought, what a terrible state we've come to if we criticize our leadership for praying with our young people. If there's anything our young people need as much as anything, it's prayer and a relationship with the Lord. And stop being conformed. Don't let this world conform you. By the way, there's a movement in our land, and you don't have to be very wise to understand it. The devil is trying to persuade the minds of our children. By the way, parents, listen carefully. Grandparents, teach your children the values of the Word of God. Teach your children about the Lordship of Christ, what it means to know Jesus, what's wrong and what's right. Don't assume they're going to get in the world, because they're not. And be not conformed. Stop being contrasted. Stop being conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every day I ought to get up and simply say, Lord, speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Lord, speak to my heart. I need to hear a word from God. The procedure for surrendered life is a continual denial of this world's efforts to get our attention and to capture our lifestyle. But be transformed. That means be transformed, be renewed, be changed. Twinkling of an eye. well, one of these days we will be transformed into the twinkling of an eye. But until then, he's still in the process of changing us more and more and more like Jesus. I like number four. Not only has Paul talked about the petition or the call for a surrendered life, the presentation of a surrendered life, and the procedure for a surrendered life, stop being conformed and be transformed consistently. But he talks finally about the purpose of a surrendered life. And this is so important that you may prove or discover firsthand what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you may prove, discover firsthand. If we knew how good God wanted to be to us, we'd stop fighting against it. In fact, at one time, the Lord said to Paul, it's hard to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you to... Paul didn't understand that God had a great plan for his life. When you realize that God's plan is going to be good and holy and blessed, it's that you may discover firsthand what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. God wants his very best for every one of us. It doesn't mean there won't be difficulties in life, but it means God won't ever abandon us. He'll walk with us through the trials of life and the sorrows of life, the heartache of life and the hurts of life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of Calvary, that you lay upon your altar, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Lord, make me more like Jesus, which is your reasonable service. You may not conform to this world, but you transform by the renewing of your mind, that you might discover what is the good and the perfect or the complete and the acceptable will of God. Lord, help me to live a surrendered life. And when I stand at the foot of the throne of heaven, you'll be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You never know on a Sunday morning who God will lead to come to church and your circumstances in life, and I don't know all the things that are happening in your life. But I wonder if there's somebody here this morning who's saved and on your way to heaven, but you just kind of lost your zeal for the Lord Jesus. You've lost your compassion for him. Doesn't mean you don't love him. Just the world's stolen some of your joy. And you'd like to start over again. Oh, you don't get saved again. You just get sweeter and closer to Jesus. And maybe somebody just needs to come this morning in a few minutes to the invitation time and find a place in this altar and just simply say, Lord, in a very fresh way, in a very renewed way, in a very special way, I want to renew my commitment to Christ and ask you, Lord, take my life and use me and take this sacrifice of my life and use me for your honor and glory. There may be somebody here just like that. There may be somebody here who's a good person in a lot of ways, but you've never been transformed by the power of the gospel. You've never come to know the saving grace of the Lord Jesus. You've never repented of sin and by faith asked him to come into your heart. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be, what church? Saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The very best life you'll ever live is a life lived for Jesus. If you've never trusted, I'll ask you in a few moments, we'll be standing and sing in a moment, to leave your seat where you'll be standing. Come and join me here at the front and say, Pastor, I want to give my heart and life to Jesus. We'll pray together. I'll share with you what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. You can leave here a saved man or woman, a saved young person, a saved boy or girl. One more time. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present. That's in the aorist tense, which means something significant and a significant turning point in life. That you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is the good and the perfect and acceptable will of God. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Would you bear with me for a moment?